so intimately. Thank you for speaking to us and opening our ears so we can listen. Amen. I don't know about you, but often when I go on holidays and then I come back to work, it's always a bit of a drag, isn't it, trying to get back into work after being on holidays. Here is some good excuses to say when you get caught sleeping at your desk. But Stuart, these don't apply to you, okay? First one is, phew, guess I left the lid off the whiteboard marker. You probably got here just in time. Next one is, I was just testing my keyboard for drool resistance. A third top one is, my head doubles as a paperweight and I'm running a virus scan. It just takes longer than the computer. Second one is, I must have put decaf in the wrong pot. But the number one excuse, if you look at it, what the number one excuse for getting caught at sleeping at your desk, the number one thing to say is, amen. Do you get that? Yeah. You've been sleeping and then you say amen. You can pretend that you've been praying. You're a slow audience this morning. Oh, well, that's a need to put more jokes in. All right. That's as much as I've got for my jokes here this morning. Okay. But end of New Year's and the start of the year to come, I thought in January we'd do a series on prayer and looking at different parts of prayer, but also looking at some of the scriptures that we have and some of the Bible prayers that we have. Today, looking at the prayer that Jesus taught us, of course. But I wonder, before we get into that, if I can... beautiful. Today I'm talking about humble prayer, but I wonder what your prayer posture is. We just had a time of quiet and silence. How do you posture yourself when you pray? I'm not just talking physically, and although that does indicate a little bit about your relationship with God, whether some people pray maybe on their knees and like that, and that's just to concentrate their thoughts a little bit more. Or maybe it's a bit of penitence or a bit of acknowledging that God is bigger than them. Maybe your prayer posture is a bit like that, or maybe it's right out like that. Maybe you pray with a sense of expectation, a sense of boldness, and a sense of excitement. Maybe you pray with a sense of sleepiness, unsureness. You're just not quite sure if anyone's listening. A sense of aloneness. Maybe you're bored and uninterested in your prayer life. What's your posture? What kind of voice do you use? Do you use a voice? Do you use images? Do you use words? Are you full of faith or just barely trusting and mostly skeptical? Are you obedient, measured, and regular? Or do you take advantage of the time that you've got, a bit more spontaneous, a bit more sporadic? Are you imaginative or dull? Are you wordy and structured or chaotic and maybe full of freedom? Are you quiet? Are you noisy? What's your prayer posture? If we think about sorts of prayers, we might think about prayers of gratitude that are full of thanks, prayers that are full of worry and concern, prayers that are full of demands, prayers that are full of repentance. All these postures can be found even in the best of prayers. Those who have spent great lengths of time enjoying prayer find themselves in any one of those categories. I was challenged by a conversation that I had just yesterday, actually, with at a cousin do that we had at my family gathering, and there was a partner of one of my cousins who has a brother-in-law. You don't have to worry about all the family dynamics here, but has a brother-in-law who is an imam in London. He's an Islamic, works at the mosque, basically kind of doing my job for the Islamic culture, for the Islamic religion in London. And he lives, the house, kind of like my manse, is right next to the mosque. And he was telling me that it's quite challenging for him and his family because in their culture, in their religion, they have to pray five times a day at the mosque. One just before sunrise, then one in the middle of the day, then a bit before sunset, and then a bit of time after sunset. Five times a day, and his job to lead those prayers every single day. Every day, five times a day. And in London, in summer, the days are very long, so you might have to start at like 4:30 in the morning and you finish at 10:30 at night. Can you imagine the stress and the strain that would put on the family? And that's what we were talking about. And I kind of thought my job was a little bit hard, but when I thought about that, I thought, whoa, that's quite a lot. I struggled to get to a prayer meeting once a week here. In fact, a lot of us struggle to get to a prayer meeting once a week here on a Wednesday. Imagine if we had to do it five times a day. It challenged me and it made me think, am I doing this right? Could I be better with my prayer life? I think there's always more that we can learn. When it comes to prayer postures, one thing that I want to emphasize right at the start is a quality which I really admire, a value a Christian value, which I think is one of the greatest Christian values that we can have. I think there's a number that I really aspire to, things like joy or peace or trust or faith, but particularly this one, humility. Humility. If you look through Proverbs, it's full of this idea that you gain wisdom by becoming humble. Those who are humble gain wisdom. How does that work? Well, if you're humble, then you acknowledge that you don't know everything, that you're not an instant expert in everything in the world, unlike most teenagers. But that you actually need to understand a little bit more about this universe, that God is bigger than you. And with humility comes an understanding that you can grow bigger. C.S. Lewis said that humility is not thinking less of yourself, but actually thinking of yourself less. I'll say it again. So C.S. Lewis said that humility is not thinking less of yourself, in other words, not being a doormat for others, but about thinking of yourself less. I think that's really helpful. I think humility, the more I explore what humility means, it's not about being that kind of doormat that everyone can walk over. It actually takes a lot of confidence, a lot of self-confidence to be humble. And you might have to think about that one a little bit further. But it takes think about people who you know that aren't very self-confident, actually a lot of the way they talk and the way they are concerned about things is all quite me-centered. It's have I done that right? How am I coming across to others? Are you okay? Am I in the wrong place for you? Have I done something? That's that kind of self-talk. But someone who is confident in themselves and also humble knows that they're okay with being who they are and the way that God has made them as a child of God, and they can step out and be a servant to others without it affecting their own identity. Does that make sense? It might take you a while to get that one around your head. That's a bit of a side issue. I wanted to talk particularly about humility in our prayer life. Humility in our prayer life and the importance of that. Why humility in our prayer life? Well, Jesus talked a lot about humility, actually. We heard a story there about this Pharisee and the tax collector. Story that Jesus told when he was trying to teach people. Always teaching, always taking every opportunity he can to teach, and always often using stories. So in this story, which you find in Luke chapter 18, he's telling people, he challenges people with his stories quite a lot, doesn't he? He said there's two people that are going up to the temple to pray. One of them's a Pharisee who should know what to do. He's a teacher of everyone, and he's that great kind of that Christian person, that spiritual guru. And the way that he prays is saying, God, thank you that I'm not like other people, all those robbers, all those evil doers, all those adulterers. You made me such a great person, and I'm not even like this tax collector over here. I do all the right things. Man, I'm so good. Thank you for making me. But the tax collector says, stood at a difference, at a distance, and he wouldn't even look to heaven, but beats his breast and says, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. So he's lifting up the humble, isn't Jesus? Lifting up those who humble themselves towards God and taking down the prideful person. And so that's how we should come to prayer. When we get to God, we should be becoming that humble person. It says, Lord, I'm not God, you are God. God first. He says the same thing in Matthew, this Sermon on the Mount. Are we going to be looking at the start of the Sermon on the Mount next year in February? What's called the Beatitudes. And I'll just read that little bit. We heard that bit about when his disciples ask him, Lord, can you teach us how to pray? And he gives them that little bit of that Lord's Prayer, and we've added a little bit on the extra on the end. But before that, I'll just read you what it says from verse 5. It says, when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. You can already see the sense of pride there in those people who are praying. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, pray to your Father who is unseen. There's now a sense of humility here. It's not about what others see you doing. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like the pagans. Remember, he's talking to a Roman world here, and there were lots of Roman gods around the place. And to get the attention of the Roman gods, you had to come to the temple, do the right things, pay the right little bits and pieces to the right people. And when you got there, you had to make a song and dance and present all the right words to say to this particular god before you could actually get their attention. It's kind of like when you're presented to the queen, you have to make sure you get all the words right or else you kind of can be put in jail. I'm not sure what happens to you, but you've got to do the right curtsy. And not for guys, though. They don't curtsy, do they? You've got to say the right things, do the right things, present and to talk to the queen right before you can get their attention. It's the same with the Roman gods, the pagan gods. They had to do all the right things before you could get their attention. And you say, don't be like that. For they think that they will be heard because of their many words. Don't be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. And again, this is also saying, you know, don't use lots of flowery words and flowery language to make yourself feel better and feel a bit more prideful about the way that you're praying. I think it's sort of saying, just come simply, honestly to God. And then he goes on, this then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done. And I've got the next words here. On earth as it is in heaven, give us today our daily bread, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And then that's where the Matthew part stops. Nicole's going to give you out something about this Lord's Prayer, which is just something that I've got together, which kind of, if you think about the Lord's Prayer, it's actually more of a structure on which to base a larger prayer for yourself. It's kind of like having a filing cabinet. Do you remember those old days where you used to have filing cabinets? Maybe you still have some, we do in our house. So you have a filing cabinet, and Jesus is providing you with a prayer filing cabinet with all the files ready for you, but with nothing in there yet. It's for you to fill in the details, fill in those folders. So this is that filing cabinet of those empty folders for us to fill in, if that makes sense. And the way it's structured, and I'm going to go through this quickly because I'm giving you the piece of paper so you can look through it yourself. But it starts with Our Father, and it's interesting that first word, Our, it's not a personal prayer, even though it was just said at the start, saying when you pray, go into your room in private. But here, it's actually a communal prayer, Our Father. And beautifully, he's saying this is how you start your prayer You don't have to use a whole lot of babble, a whole lot of nonsense about getting God's attention. You can just enter beautifully, richly, deeply into prayer with this wonderful relationship, our Father. And then it goes on, and what does it say? It focuses on God first. Focuses on what God wants for this world. It doesn't launch into a whole lot of, God, I want this, I want this, I want that. This is horrible. This is happening. All these things are going on. Please help me, please help me, please help me. It doesn't say that at all. In fact, it says, God, what do you want for this world? God, you're holy. Hallowed be your name. May your name be honored is another way of saying that. Your name is holy. You're thinking about the qualities of God. We sang that song, holy, holy, holy. And you might go, why do we keep repeating the same words over and over again? That's partly because in the Bible we have this picture of the angels in heaven talking, singing this song to God on the throne, and they sing holy, holy, holy. Also partly because in the Hebrew language they didn't have a word for very. So if they wanted to emphasize a word, they just repeated it, which is why you have holy, holy, holy. And to repeat it three times means it's super holy. That's the Trinity there, three words. Something very special about that. That's why we repeat those words. But holy, 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 God, you're complete. You are everything. May your name be honored. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, what you want, let that be my desire. God first. There's a humility there in that posture of that prayer, isn't there? And that's what I want to emphasize. I can go on and talk about the rest, but really that's what I want us to take home today, is when we come to prayer, come humbly to God. Even when it comes to things like prayers for healing, prayers for others, prayers for evangelism, prayers for sharing what's going on in this world. We come humbly to God. God, you're God. I'm not. You know what's best. I don't. Your kingdom come, not mine. Man, if my kingdom came on this earth, it would look kind of a bit skewed. It wouldn't look right. In fact, that's what's wrong with this world. Lord, your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Up there, come down here. That's what I pray. And then all the rest of your personal prayers actually flow out from that conversation, from that beginning of humility, from that beginning of God first. Everything else comes in the light of that. And maybe what we first came into prayer for doesn't seem to matter as much, or matters differently, or maybe our part of that changes. Prayer isn't just about changing God's opinion about what's going on, but it's actually about God changing our opinion, God changing us. So when we come to prayer, can we do that? Can we do that humbly? Can we say God first? I'm going to give you a chance to practice this right now, okay? I'm going to finish up. I'm not going to say a prayer. You are going to say the prayer, okay? You can use that structure that's right in front of you of the Lord's Prayer. You know it well. But you can structure that, or you can just quietly pray for yourself, but remember putting God first. If you would like to pray with maybe the person that you came with or someone nearby, then you can. But if you'd like to pray privately, just say, no, it's okay. I just want to pray privately right now. That's okay. I'm going to give you 5 minutes to do that. Thank you that you are holy, that you are righteous, that you are the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. You're also full of wisdom, full of peace, full of humility, full of joy. And in Jesus Christ, we see all your qualities. We thank you for this teaching from Jesus. That we can come to you and talk so freely, so openly, so gently, so honestly with you. Oh Lord, your kingdom, your plans, your desires, your will for ourselves, for this church, for this community, for this world is so much greater and so much better than ours. Help us to desire that, to get in line with what you're doing, to step into your river of life, not try to create our own. You know, we're sorry for the times that we have. We also acknowledge that in Jesus Christ, you redeem us, you save us, you forgive us. And Lord, as we think about the forgiveness that you have on offer for us, we think of those who have hurt us in this past year. The things that we're holding on to, that those relationships, and the little punishments that we want to give others, help us to let them go, just in the way that you let go of the sins that we've committed against you. Help us, Lord, to forgive and protect us from the time of trial and from evil. Jesus, we're excited about what you're doing here at Burnside City. Help us to keep our eyes fixed on you, and not on what we want, but on what you want. In Jesus' name, amen.